Well, take your Bibles. Let's go to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. Apart from Him, I've realized that my dependency upon the Holy Spirit is very, very real. Amen. I need the Holy Spirit in my life, and I realize sometimes that, you know, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, not everybody knows that He is a person. He's the third part of the Trinity, and I feel it's very important to compliment and praise the Holy Spirit. It's God, you know, and so, you know, He's sent here on earth to help us. The Bible calls Him a helper, and we're going to get into some of that, but I specifically really, I believe God wants to touch some things in people's lives tonight. It's what He wants to do. It's not me as a pastor. It's not that I'm coming in. You know, I have expectations to yield to the Holy Spirit, to be directed by the Holy Spirit. But I believe tonight that the Holy Spirit wants to touch some things here. In individuals' hearts and in our minds, that our minds be free. So let's just open up in prayer. Everybody just lift your hands. Father, I thank You. I thank You for the freedom in this house tonight, Father. I pray, Lord, that our minds would be refreshed and renewed to the things of God. And Father, Holy Spirit, breathe. Yes, Lord, breathe upon this congregation. Breathe upon this service tonight, I pray. In Jesus, Holy Spirit, I need You. I need You. Holy Spirit, breathe upon them tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isaiah 44, verse 3. Amen. Let's just jump into this. It says, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring." Father, thank You for this word, and I thank You for that. This is the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. God has destined the Last Day Church to set the pace for the moving of the Holy Spirit. He's setting a course, and I believe on planet Earth for the greatest outpouring. I believe there's an outpouring taking place. Okay, I believe that we can come in and we can experience, you know, an outpouring of God's Spirit. But, you know, in the Old Testament, you would see at different times where, you know, they didn't have the work of the Holy Spirit upon them. The Spirit of God would come upon them. They would prophesy. You see it on Elijah and Elisha, and how the Spirit of God would manifest that way. And you see it with Moses. You see it in different parts. But what you begin to see in the New Testament, and that's the age in which we're living in, is the promise of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of God's Spirit upon His people and upon His church. Are we His church? Amen. So this hasn't died away with. It's not disappeared. It's not going. It's as fresh now as it was 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. That's some good news for the church. That's some good news for the church. That God's looking for a vessel. And it's important that you see this even in the Scripture. "For I will pour water on him who is" what? Thirsty. 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 So, you know, if even out of this text, if you'll look at something, see that there's a requirement for the outpouring of God's Spirit, that we the church, amen, we get thirsty. Amen. Stay thirsty, my friends. Amen. You know, you guys with me tonight. You know the commercial, right? It's not a good commercial, but stay thirsty for the things of God. Stay thirsty for the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? You spend time with Him. You talk with Him. But I believe the Last Day Church is, you know, we will see. I believe we will see the greatest outpouring of history in these last days. Amen. See, the world groans. And, it, you know, you guys understand, the world groans and is frustrated. It's very frustrated at the church. It's why for the last 20 years you can't mention the name of Jesus. You can't talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, in an earthly area because people A, don't understand it. But it's like it's wanting to push that away. You know, Jesus. You know. I realized the other night when we were at the football game, and I had a blast. It was a great time. But, you know, Brother Steve and I were talking on the way home, and he was like, stadium are 65, 70,000 people. And he looks at me and says, he's thinking like me. He's like, I wonder how many people in the stadium are actually saved. I wonder how many people here know Jesus. I'm sitting there thinking, man, I hope it's a lot, you know? As a pastor, as a Christian, I hope it's a lot, right? I mean, there are Christians there, right? But, you know, all around us is, you know, you hear the chatter and you hear people talking. And you know, we had the one obnoxious West Virginia fan behind us that, you know, I'm glad I'm saved. Praise Jesus. So I'm glad Don was saved. I'm glad Brother Stephen was saved. Greg, I'm glad all four of us were saved because you know, there probably would have been a day that the four of us probably would have, something would have happened. I can only imagine. So BC, right? BC. But praise God. Praise God. Praise God for who He is. But the grumblings of the world are happening. And see, and I don't need to preach about this tonight because you see it. It's so easily seen. It's so easily seen in our media. It's so easily seen on college campuses. Brother, you keep going after it. Keep going after it, amen. You see it on campuses. You see it everywhere. You see the pull. You know, we just can't talk about Jesus. We can't talk about the church. I've got good news. The church isn't going anywhere, yet. There's still yet to be what I believe is the greatest revival. I believe the great, you know, that the latter rain would be greater than the former rain. That the rain, and it talks about this in Joel in chapter 3, I think it's in Joel, but it's like the latter rain and the former rain coming together and it being greater, amen. It being greater, greater rain, amen. It's not, there was the former rain, praise God, it was good. The day of Pentecost, it was good, but can you now see, can you now imagine the mighty outpouring of God's Spirit on all flesh? All flesh doesn't miss anybody, but I want you to catch this tonight because see, as a believer, it's important that you stay thirsty. You stay thirsty for the things of God. You stay in a place of like, you know, no, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes for me to remain and stay in this place of staying thirsty for the things of God. You know, it's a small thing. It's like having a. It's like having a Bible reading plan. It's like, you know, making a decision to read your Bible. It's like making a decision, you know, and I, you know why I love Dr. Morocco so much? It's like he created things in KC that would give people the opportunity to learn about God. You know, I'll use Brother Justin as an example. I mean, you know, the other day he prayed and it was like, I learned how to pray. He said, I remember it was Amanda at the gym and said, well, come on, let's just pray here. And he was like, I don't want to pray here. I don't know what to say. And, you know, and that was what, I don't know, several months ago. It's been a while. And then it was on prayer call. And I said, Brother Justin, won't you just close us out in prayer? And I told him, I said, you don't have to be long. You just close us out in prayer. Close us out in prayer. Praise God. And then the other day he prayed. I said, you know, he come in for, you know, prayer for revival prayer on Sunday morning. A time we meet here, 7:30 in the morning on Sundays. And Brother Justin, pray. And he prayed. See, that everybody think, well, you know, that's just him praying. No. That's the outpouring of God's Spirit. See, that's the outpouring of God's Spirit. You know, we think sometimes it's like, I've got to fall down, I got to get up, I got to fall down, I got to get up. And we think, and I love Pentecost, amen, praise God. I love the laying on of hands, we need that. Power of God hit people, fall down, get up, praise God, get up, fall down again. I love all that, that's awesome. But learning how to pray and praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit, just being in prayer, that's revival, that's revival in a person. That's the very nature of God putting something in you that's greater. It's great, you know, because you know. Do you feel like praying at 6 o'clock in the morning? Brother Don shared that testimony the other day. He said, I woke up about 4 minutes before prayer, but I woke up with praise on my tongue. How many of us can testify that at 6 a.m. in the morning? I know I can. Oh, it's 5:58. You know, that's it. You just start rapping in tongues. And that's what he did. He's, you know, I mean, honestly, like, I was like, brother, you know, and literally, I listened to him pray for about 7 or 8 minutes. I was like, brother had to have been up since 4 o'clock in prayer, just praying in the Holy Ghost, full of faith. And then he shared the test. You know, I just got up at 5:58. It was running late. I needed Jesus. See, that's the condition. That's the condition that has to begin to rest upon us, rest upon the church. We need him. I can't do this. I need the work of the Holy Spirit in conjunction with me. I need the Holy Spirit. Because in my own self, I don't have the ability to do it. But with God, all things are possible. With the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. That's where we begin to move the gauge. That's where we begin to say, no, I'm not going to let offenses, I'm not going to let hurts, I'm not going to let pains, I'm not going to be dictated by you know, the trickery of the enemy. I'm not going to be, my future is not determined by the government. You guys, we have an election in 52 days. My life is not determined on who's going to be the next president of the United States. It doesn't change my gauge. As a believer, my wife and I were ready to go to jail 4 years ago. You know, we understand. See, that was the thing about the calling and the purpose. I understood. Called our kids in and said, hey, you know, Miranda and I were like, she was fighting with me about it. She's like, no, I'll go to jail first. I'm like, no, just quit. I said, no, you stay with the kids. I'll go first. You know, because we didn't know what they were going to keep churches open, close them, shut them down. You know, people, you know, because there were reports, police officers showing up in parking lots, running people out of church. Then our governor has the, well, I'm not live, I'm recording, but you know, you can worship in church, but you got to wear a mask. How is that? How would it be? How would it be that you know? I only make this point. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew 24. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised by what things get thrown out there. Don't be easily shaken. Don't be easily deceived. Don't be easily offended. Don't be easily offended by a brother and sister in Christ. You hear what I'm saying? Don't easily be offended by a fellow believer. You know, we'll show more grace to somebody that's a non-believer than we do somebody that is a believer. They should know better. Maybe they don't know better. You guys with me? You know, we want to... It's not for us to be the Lord. Amen. You guys go to Matthew 24. I want to touch on this real quick because, see, it's Matthew 24, verse 4. It says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that your heart not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. I only touch on this. We preached on this. It's important you understand, because people are going to be looking at believers and say, what's going on? What you know? And you can take, I mean, the other day I was talking to a man at the gas station. Gas station is a great place to communicate with people sometimes. And, you know, and he sought me out. And I'm like, well, this is good. You know, usually it's me going over there. But he come over to me, and you know, he wanted to witness to me, and so I'm listening, don't say anything. And he was like, well, you seem to know a little bit about the Bible. And I said, well, yes, sir, I do. And he said, what do you do? I said, well, I happen to be a pastor. And so then we'll hold another conversation, you know, and he wanted to give me his doctrine. And I said, well, you know, we should get everybody to heaven, and that we can get to heaven. Amen. We should lead and get people to heaven, tell people about Jesus. And he just paused. And he just wanted to tell me about doctrine, and I'm like, no, brother, no. I, you know, let's go back to Let's go back to the elementary thing. Let's get people to heaven. Amen. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Well, that was a whole other conversation that we couldn't really have. But let's talk about souls. Let's talk about salvation, the currency of heaven. Amen. Let's talk about what it means to witness. What it means to be bold in our faith. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I see this in passage, you know, for nations shall rise against nations. You see it, pestilence, earthquakes, famines, you see all that. And not to hang around that. In verse 10, 24:10, it says, and then shall many be offended. Okay? And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. See, what offense does is it leads into betrayal. You know, it'll lead a lot of times offense. When somebody's offended or hurt, it'll lead into a type of betrayal that, you know, and it's not always, sometimes it's purposely done, sometimes it's out of ignorance. It's just out of the flattery of ignorance. It just happens. So betrayal will take place, and it's just like, and then people get pitted, and, you know, people will play, well, this church and that church, and this, you know, it's like we've got to recognize the times in which we live. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the comforter. We need the helper to be able to discern through these things. Amen. So you know where this passage is. Know what the Word of God says, so you can help people understand that. Amen. And you don't have to preach. You let the Word do the work a lot of times. You know, guys, so many times it's, you know, do you have a Bible? Yeah, well, you know, let's pull up the Bible on our app. Let's look at the Scriptures together. That way you can get out of opinions. And I was with that last week too. Well, you know, it's my opinion, it's your opinion. It doesn't matter. What's the Bible say? Let's just look and see what the Word says. And we can lay opinions aside. Let's look and see what the Word of God says. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another and many false prophets. Because what happens through offense, what happens through betrayal is that it leads way to many. The Bible says many false prophets. People that are going to come and just tell you what you want to hear. You know, twisted whatever ideology, twisted whatever. You can do this and you can do that. And you know, guys, listen, in America, 80-90% of people believe in God. But they just, when you mention the name of Jesus, they're lost. They don't know that he was the Son of God. They don't even understand that there's a Trinity. So it's so important that we have sound doctrine. Amen. And we've talked about sound doctrine in this house. I'm sure there's recordings around it. Praise God. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and because of iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold, the Bible says. Man. So we understand. We understand the falling away. And that's not what I'm talking about tonight. Because, see, I'm talking about a river. I'm talking about a river that flows from the throne room of God. A mighty river, amen, a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit upon His church and upon His people that says, you know what, hey, I'm going to pray. Hey, I'm going to fast. Hey, I'm going to go get somebody and invite them to church. I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do. Guys, listen, it's so important right now that you're paying attention to the Holy Spirit. You're paying attention to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, let's go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. The manifestation of the last day church, I believe this is taking place on planet Earth, and it's the operation of the Holy Spirit manifesting itself. The Holy Spirit manifesting itself on Earth. On Earth. Yeah, let's look at Joel chapter 2. And we see this prophetically, and it shall come to pass, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. What's that say again? All flesh, right? You guys with me? Are we a part of all flesh? We're a part of all. I'm in that category, male, female, all flesh. God's going to pour out His Spirit. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also of my men servant and my maid servant, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Praise God. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, the one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you'll see that that's the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. Is the day of Pentecost. Jesus prepared his disciples. There were 120 plus families, others in the upper room, but 120 is recorded in the scriptures. But what we see take place is the very promise that Jesus said, this is what, it's better that I leave. Those were the words of Jesus. It's better that I leave so that this can be released on earth. And that was God's Spirit. Man, listen, guys, we have, you know, and I love Pastor Miranda preaching and teaching on grace, the empowerment, the power that we have through grace. But this is God's grace being bestowed upon his church and upon a people. You know what? To keep winning and to win and to win and to keep winning. Any winners in the house? Amen. Amen. I'm looking around. There's winners in the house. There's people that have won some battles. Amen. Hey, you know, guess what you do when you win a battle? You get ready and you go win another one. Amen. And see, that's the family of God. You know, we just keep winning battles. You know, you gird yourself. You get ready for battle. You know, the sword, the word of God, the Spirit of truth. How many times have I had to release the word? Even today. You know, from 2:30 to 5 o'clock, just praying. Holy Ghost, I need you. Releasing the word. Father, I'm praying over this congregation. Praying over people that aren't here. Praying over people that are far away. Lord, release your Spirit. Release your power on planet Earth. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord, because I believe that, God, your power is going to be manifest. That we're going to walk into the greater things of God. Amen. Oh my. Look at John chapter 7 real quick. I'm just giving you some passages, and I'm going to try to set this up to go another direction here in a second. John chapter 7. And even to go back to where I started with the first passage. John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying. When you see that in your Bible, what do you think? Jesus, he stood and he cried out. What's a crying out sound like? Oh, people, can you hear me? What's a crying out sound like? Has anybody ever cried out to the Lord? Have you ever just, Lord, help me? I can't do this. I can't, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, be with me. Lord, heal me. These are some of my prayers. Lord, heal my wife. Touch my mother in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, do what only you can do, because Lord, I need you. Lord, your word says. Lord, I'm reminded of your word. What's a crying out sound like? I believe at points in times it's a type of desperation. Has anybody ever been desperate for the Lord? Have you been you ever been desperate for God to show up in a situation, for God to manifest it because you need it now? Have you? Because see, that's what thirsting looks like. That's what hungering looks like. You get desperate. Because what happens is we try to mix leaning on flesh and leaning on the Spirit, and it doesn't work, because your flesh is going to let you down. Can I be honest with you? Your flesh will always let you down. But it's your Spirit. It's the groanings from your Spirit. It's the drawing in and pressing in, saying, Lord, I need more of you. I want more of you. Father, I need more of you. Pour out your Spirit upon me. Pour out your Spirit upon kings, upon the families here. You know, It's a crying out. Jesus, he's when you're 25. Guess what? He'll be a healer when you're 75. Well, I'm getting, you know, Pastor Brent said, I'm getting older. You know what? Coming in here and jumping up and down. I've had surgery on both my feet. I'm not supposed to jump. I'm not supposed to do anything like that. They told me when I was 16 years old, you'd be lucky if you ever walked again. We're redoing all your tendons and your feet and all that stuff. And so many mornings, for the longest time, I would just thank Jesus that I was able to walk. But, you know, now I don't even think about it. That was 3 years ago. All winter long, I was in pain. I couldn't stand. I couldn't walk. If I was up here for 30 minutes, it was all I could do. I was just in pain. And I got fed up. Enough is enough. Lord, you've called me to preach. That means I got to stand on my feet. Because I, you know, could you imagine me being in a wheelchair? I'd be like, you know, there's no motorized wheelchair that's going to be able to keep up with me. They don't make one. It'd have to have a 350 in it. I put something big. You know, and I'm not against any of that. But Lord, you called me to preach, so my feet need to be healed. And Lord, I'm standing upon the word. I'm standing upon it, Lord. Lord, I don't want just a raindrop of healing. I want it all. I want it all. Because see, that's the thing. Because see, when God said that He would pour out His Spirit, it looks like this. It's a pouring out. It's a pouring out. That's what it looks like. It's not a drop from heaven. It's a pouring out of God's Spirit. It's a pouring out upon all flesh. Do you need the, I need the outpouring of God's Spirit on my life, on everything that I touch, everything that I do. Don't be complacent, and don't be just happy to settle. It's just, I love Jesus. It's deeper. It's deeper because see, what Jesus Christ did was He ascended to heaven so the Spirit of God could be poured out upon all humanity. So that the church that we would, you know, that when He comes back, that He would come back for it. What kind of a church? A glorious church. Guess what we're going to be? We're going to be a glorious church. We're going to be a church that's shining for Jesus. That's the latter-day church that we that we've been poured out upon. But see, you know, give me another bottle of water. Water's easy to clean. Because see, The thing about the pouring out is it's like, you know, when 37 cents, here we go. Just get me another one in case I need it. See, you know, it's like the pouring out of God's Spirit. It's because see, the manifestation of God's Spirit, He wants to pour out. He wants to pour out. Just hold that one. Don't open it. He wants to pour out. That's what was prophesied. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. He poured out His Spirit upon the people that were what? They were hungering and thirsting for the things of God. See that's the condition. That's the condition. It's like you've got to break loose in your mind. How do I hunger? How do I get thirsty? It's just saying, you know what? I depend solely upon you. God, you're my everything. God, when I pay my tithe, when I pay my offering, God, you're my everything. It's not mine anyway. It's my everything. When He says give a car away, it's Holy Spirit, it's you. It's my everything. It's my everything. But see, we can't settle for the raindrops, because see, what happens is we become raindrop Christians. We become Christians that have just experienced just a little dabble, do you? You know, a little touch, you know, and then we go through life and it's like, I remember when I had that mighty output. See, you can live here. You can live in the rain. It's been done. It's been completed. It's your healing's paid for. Bought and paid for. You guys with me? It's bought and paid for. So what do I got to do? I got to hunger. I got to thirst. I've got to go after it. But you know what? What I love about raindrops is you know, the other day, I don't know, did anybody stand in the rain when it rained? I did, because it hadn't rained in a while, and I was on my back porch, and I thought, I'm gonna go to the yard to get the full experience. Nobody, I don't even know if Miranda was inside, but it was like drop, 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 drop. And I'm like, we haven't had rain for like a week and a half. this is going to be good. This is going to be a good golly washer. It's going to be a golly washer. You know, that's a West Virginia term for us people in Boston that don't understand that. So a golly washer, that's a West Virginia storm. You know, you've heard that before. No, see, you don't know. So Boston people don't know that. So this is going to be a golly washer. That's what my mom would say. I don't know if anybody ever heard that, but that's what I heard. You know, always heard. But it was drop, 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 drop. And then all of a sudden, heaven opened. And it come down. And it's like, is my head getting wet? Because it was like the drops were so big and they were so far apart. You know, you ever be in one of those rains where it's like, I'm not like fully wet yet. I'm not like, it's like drop, drop, drop. But it's raining hard. Like, what kind of rain is this? It's like scattered rain, right? But it was this that the rain of God, that, you know, it's like that it would touch me. And see, when the rain begins to touch you, you know what it causes. And I know I've been talking about this. It's the overflow of the rain in a person's life. It's the overflow of the water. It's the overflow of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. You know, because see, raindrops can they help somebody? Yeah, absolutely, they can help somebody. But when you're washed and you're purified by the rain of God, you're purified by the Holy Spirit, what it's going to do is it's going to bubble over. It's going to come over onto someone else where it's not like because, you know, just because Justin and I are hanging out, you know, he can have a raindrop, but it's that what happens when two storms collide? That's what produces rain. See, it causes God is so amazing, huh? That when clouds are coming together, they're forming together, that, you know, the mixture of air. I didn't mean to spit that far. But as the mixture of air comes together, you know, it causes rain. And that's what happens with the body of Christ. That the rain of God would flow through the body of Christ globally. And what it would do was it would create just an outpouring. See, the outpouring of God, it's continual. It's continual. It's just continual. That's what the Lord wants to do with us. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody, but it makes a lot of sense to me tonight. That God would want to pour out His Spirit upon us, amen, upon the church, continually. So you see the warnings. You know the tactics. If you've been saved more than a week, the enemy was quick to try to deceive you, to try to throw things at you. Especially when you said, well, I'm going to church on Wednesday night. Ooh, that's a whole nother, you're a whole nother level Christian. You go to church on Wednesday in America. We only go once a month. Yeah, you go on a Wednesday night, you're leveling up, amen. Sunday night, you must be a holy roller. You got to be Pentecostal. They're the only ones that run service on Sunday night. And unfortunately, you know, in America, though, people, we've closed churches down on Sunday nights. I told Miranda, I said, if there's five of us here, we're going to have church on Sunday nights. It's a King's thing anyway. You know, we have church on Sundays. But, and some of our best meetings are on Sunday nights, huh? The Spirit of the Lord just move and show up. Wednesday night. I don't even know what time we left here. 9:30? Just Holy Ghost just sweeping through the room. Touching people. Filling people up. Overflow. That's God's power. That's God's Spirit. That's what He wants to do. Amen. That it would be poured out. There's freedom in the giving of the Spirit. It's why you can dance. It's why you can jump. It's why you can sing. There's freedom. There's freedom. This house looks a lot more freer than it did 5 years ago, doesn't it? It looks a lot, you know, but there's freedom in the Spirit. And the first 10 or 12 people, they left because they couldn't figure us out. You got three worshipers on stage and you're jumping up and down. What's going on here? What kind of church is this? What kind of cult in Fairmont? What kind of Fairmont cult is this? You know what's crazy? I mean, time and time again, though, we would watch people, and we've seen it over the years, Families get miracles. People get healed. God does it. We're just going to believe that it's possible, that God will do those things. Amen, because that's what the Bible says. Time and time again, we'd watch it happen. And then people come in and say, man, how do you guys worship like that? Why do you guys worship like that? Because we love Jesus. It's just an infomercial for Jesus. Worship with everything you have. Worship in spirit. Worship in truth. I think about David being undignified. We don't know what that's really like sometimes, do we? He danced with all his might because he loved the Lord. Fear not, for I will pour water on him. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants. There's freedom in the outpouring of God's spirit. There's a flow. Guys, there's a flow. There's the river. There's a flow in the pouring out of God's spirit. You ever find the flow of the Holy Spirit? I'm not saying things are perfect, but you ever find the flow of the Holy Spirit? There's a flow in the Holy Spirit. He'll help you. That's he's a helper. I don't have time to get into that. But there's a flow in the Holy Spirit. There's an abundance in the giving of the Spirit. An abundance of what? I can't love the way I love. I don't have it in me to love. The kind of love that God put in me, it's God's love. It's his Spirit in my spirit. Because I can't love that way. Flesh says no. Because the guy the other night at the West Virginia game, I wanted to punch him so bad. I mean, it was in me. It was in me. But then I started thinking, I wonder how many people here are saved, like Brother Stephen. I wonder. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, there's a flow. There's a flow in the things of the Spirit. You know, you can block those things out. And I tell you what, until you mature in Christ, if you can't block them out, leave. That's the honest truth. Like, if I would have been newly saved, it would have been difficult for me to listen to that. And if my wife were with me, I probably would have been in a fight. Because Miranda said, your mouth's got her. You got a problem with your mouth. You know, she's got me in almost several fights. Just so. And then she comes to me and says, just go to the car. I'm like, Miranda, no, he's like calling you out. This is a guy calling you out. We've got a problem. Guys, don't call my wife out. We're going to fight, you know. You're a pastor. Shh, don't tell anybody. We're in Clarksburg. Nobody knows me here, so. True story. She's like, just go to the car. No, I'm not going to the car. Bruh, come on, let's go. You got a problem with my wife? Come on, let's do this thing. I'm in Clarksburg. I don't know anybody here. We're far backside of Clarksburg. Just left a revival meeting, even at that. Festival of Life. She gets her husband in a fight. But it wasn't him, it was somebody else, and you're calling out the wrong guy. Some redneck in a truck that's 6 foot off the ground, and, you know, he's like from Ritchie County probably, you know, like kind of guy I grew up with, you know, but you had to pick the fight. You had to pick a fight with the biggest guy in the parking lot too. I can hit him hard, hit him quick. So that was only. That's how I learned how to fight. Anyway, I don't even talk about that. So fast and quick. That's. There's an abundance of the giving of the Spirit of the Lord. Abundance. He wants to give. He wants to give and pour out in abundance. He's not without measure. See the measuring you use. See, that's the problem that we have a lot of times is we think God can't do it because we lock ourselves up in our mind. He doesn't. You know, it's just that my measuring stick's not. It's not. You know, it's this big. When He's wanting to give you a 100-foot tape measure, He's wanting you to stretch it out. He's wanting you to take that and stretch it all out. And you're like, I'm in centimeters and inches. And God's saying, No, son. I've given you a 100-yard. I've given you a 100-yard. Measuring thing. You know, whatever tape measure. I've given you that. So. But you see, the measure in which you use, you see, it's not possible. No, see, God wants to pour out. He wants to pour out. He wants to pour out in your life. He continually wants to pour out. He wants to pour out in your life. See, the benefit of the outpouring, think about this on the day of Pentecost. Why did he pour out upon them? What happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the early disciples? Peter, guess what he did? A boldness came upon him, and he said, okay, I get it now. I have something on the inside of me. It's the Spirit of God. Now it's going to cause me to be bold. Now it's going to cause me to go to the president of the WVU and say, you know what the college needs? It needs Jesus Christ. It's the boldness to come upon you in a college class and say, hey, you know what? Why don't we just pray for our test today? You know, because, you know, what's an instructor going to do? Student-led, right? That's what they tell us, right? We can have prayer in school if it's student-led. Lead it. That's the boldness of the Holy Spirit. That's the boldness of the Holy Spirit in our workplaces. That's the boldness of the Holy Spirit upon you. Peter preached, 3,000 were added that day. Guys, it's the pouring out of God's Spirit. Miranda talked about it today, that, you know, the evidence of grace, there's an evidence of the outpouring of God's Spirit upon the church. Hey, that's what I want to be. Amen. You guys come back up. Let's worship on our way out tonight. See, that's the evidence of God's Spirit is the outpouring of God's Spirit upon His people. God pouring out upon His people. Amen. The evidence of the outpouring.